I'm Frank Vaughn. It is August 6, 2026, fresh off the heels of making a video yesterday where I talked about my cautious optimism. I have to dial that back a little bit today after a long night of reading and a morning of headlines. I've just got a few visual aids today to discuss, and this is all going to confirm things I said months ago, and I'm sorry to say it, because I would much rather be wrong. Here's the headline from Zero Hedge, a very friendly news organization to Donald Trump and his administration. The headline is, Hormuz deal shock. Iranian state media says U.S.-Israeli vessels will be banned from the Strait of Hormuz. Iran parliament reviews draft Hormuz plan banning U.S. and Israeli-linked vessels. Oil rises as proposed strait restrictions raise supply concerns because, unlike what the president says, as I highlighted yesterday, the United States is still dependent on imports from the world to keep its refineries operating. There's no replacing the world's oil at this stage. Houthis intensify attacks on Saudi oil shipping in the Red Sea. There is an attack on the kingdom. There's an attempt to break the kingdom away from the petrodollar. That is coming. The Houthis, Ansar Allah, is how we should properly refer to them, control 75% of the Yemeni population. The government that is recognized by the West is not legitimate. And instead of it being a satellite arm of the Iranian regime, as we're told by the media to think, they get suggestions from Iran, but they do what they want. There is certainly coordination. And the war in the region, whether or not the United States and Iran cut a deal, there is still Lebanon, there is still Gaza, there's still what's happening in the West Bank, there is still the Houthis slowly strangling the Saudis. You realize, a lot of people like to think of the Houthis and Ansar Allah as, once again, there's this concept on the Western right that we're dealing with a bunch of goat penetrators, for lack of a better word. There's all this dismissal. They have an effective fighting force that is stronger than the entire Saudi military, something like 350,000. The Saudi military is nowhere near that strength. They might have more toys, but after 10 years of airstrikes, Ansar Allah has not been broken. In fact, they are emboldened, and they are playing games in the Red Sea, and they continue, whether or not Iran and the United States come to some sort of deal. Iran-Oman talks continue as U.S. backs diplomatic solution and searches for off-ramp. Here's the issue, and this is why my cautious optimism has to take a trim, because this may be too much for the United States to take, for one thing. I don't think Trump can live with. It's one thing for him to live with the Hormuz being controlled by Iran and charging service fees. There's examples all over the world of this happening with various straits around the world where there are service fees charged and there's control by national interests. And he could fall back onto that story. You know, it's an interesting thing. His administration, when they came into office, they actually drafted a foreign policy document that was brilliant. I think I covered it on this channel. I probably did, at least superficially, and said, if they stick to this foreign policy, it will be brilliant. And he proceeded to throw it out and invade Iran. He only has to go back to that. He only has to go back to talking about Fortress North America and the realities of the geopolitics. But at any rate, as cited in Bloomberg from state media, key proposals include ban on vessels linked to U.S., Israel, and other hostile states, block military and civilian cargo tied to Israel. That would include the U.S. This idea, and I think they believed this a couple months ago, was that if they could just get a ceasefire, and they tried this with the various ceasefires in the MOU, every time there was a cessation of hostilities in the strait, the Americans would try to send naval power through, whether it was missile destroyers. They would try to do something, demining operations, and they would make a lot of copy. Trump couldn't keep his big mouth closed and do it subtly. He had to announce it on Truth Social, and the Iranians would force them back out because Iran is not going to give up the Strait of Hormuz. They will enforce their control, and there's nothing the United States can do about it. Now, it's not going to stop this administration from potentially trying again, which I think is more likely today than it was yesterday, because Iran seems to want it. They seem to want it. Trump keeps telling this story about how the Iranians are begging for a deal and how they're defeated, and he did it again today. He came out and said the war's going great. He's delusional, at least on this file, he is completely out of touch, or he's just so full of it. And if you read his words and you read The Art of the Deal, you understand that he will never admit defeat. That's part of his philosophy. It's what he's espoused, that you never admit defeat. And he's defeated right now, and he's not admitting it. Redirect ships linked to actions against the Axis of Resistance. Deny passage to parties owing compensation to Iran. Impose fines of up to 20% of cargo value for violations. Iran's demands are becoming more maximalist. They're not reducing their demands. Remember back in February? No, it wasn't even February. I'm sorry. It was probably March or April. It was within weeks of the war starting, the Iranians published a list of demands, and I came out on social media. This was before I got burned out, before April, when I got totally burned out fighting with people, trying to make sense, trying to communicate to people what was going to happen and having everybody take a piece of me over it. I said the demands the Iranians were assessing at that point were the best list of demands the United States was going to get. They should take it then and save themselves the trouble later. Of course, nobody listens to me. Everybody hated me saying it. Well, now the demands are getting greater and greater and greater. And if the Americans, as I fear they will, because this is too big a political hit for Trump to stomach, he'll try again. Whatever is left of the advanced munitions, they will all be gone. It'll be B-52s and dumb bombs. They will lose planes if they decide to try and actually fly into Iran and do bombing runs over Iran instead of using standoff munitions. If you don't understand the difference, after 5 months, I don't know what I've been doing wrong. If they try to do that, they're going to start losing planes. And then things are going to get real dicey and dirty. And then what? They're going to try and cobble together some kind of ground invasion? None of it's going to work. Are they going to nuke? Because that's the other thing. Before we move on from this, Fars has spelled out that the passage of vessels belonging to the U.S. and the Israelis and other hostile countries through the Strait of Hormuz will be prohibited. The passage of vessels belonging to them will be prohibited. Ships related to Israel, whether military or civilian, will not have the right to transit through the area. Vessels and cargoes that play a role in actions against the resistance front will be subject to the ban. Countries and individuals that have caused damage to Iran will not receive permission to pass through the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf until compensation is paid. Heavy fines, blah, 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 on and on. This is the deal that Iran and Oman are negotiating, and they've cut the United States out. This is so important for people to understand. The empire of the United States, not the fake British empire, that Promethean action, which is half of their videos are AI. And I still see people repeating it in my comments section as though it's some kind of gospel, who learned nothing from Q and the nonsense that Q spewed. These are intel operations meant to keep you looking the wrong way. Not the fake empire, the real empire, the American empire, not the republic, the empire the republic built. It always had to come home. It's had to come home. I've been talking about this concept for 12 years. It had to come home. And it was only a matter of how it came home. Not in a coffin or in a body bag with flag-draped coffins, but just bring it back and focus on North America. That's the only game in town. The way things could have gone is you could have had a controlled withdrawal that would have left Biden's strategic disaster that he played out in Afghanistan, would have left that intact as the most embarrassing strategic disaster in American history, would have left a lot of American soft power and diplomatic clout intact. Instead, what Trump has done is he has ruined America's position in the world. And there's various things that are going to tell you that this is the truth. And I hope you keep tuning in, because I'm not tooting my own horn here. But I've been talking about this stuff for 5 months. I've been telling you exactly. I've been talking about this for a year and a half. Since before the 12-day war. I've been saying the same thing, that this strategic disaster and exactly how it would play out. I'm just some guy in Saskatchewan. I could see it coming. Why can't these people see it coming? It's wild. We're going to do this quick. This is a YouTube video. Balkan Mapper. If you want to know what's going on in Ukraine, Balkan Mapper's the way to go. I think that this individual might, I don't want to say they have a bias, but the reporting is just called down the middle. And this is every day publishes a video updating on the war. And if you want to get caught up, If you want a snapshot, deep dive, very quick, very efficient, Balkan Mapper is the way to go. I don't know who this is. I just have done over the course of the war, I've used them a lot and verified what they talk about. They're very cautious, and I like that in coverage. But the headline on screen is, Russia is training newly recruited North Korean troops, likely in preparation for a future offensive operation in Ukraine. The North Koreans got involved, and they got involved on Russian soil. And that was their limit. That was it. They came in. They helped liberate the Battle of the Ukrainian Bulge around Kharkiv. And that was it. That's what they did. They went home. They were celebrated as heroes. Now the North Koreans are looking to get involved directly by putting troops on the ground in operations inside Ukraine. Why are they doing this? Because everybody smells the blood in the water. And it's important for Americans and Canadians as well. Everybody in North America, we are all in this together. This adversarial thing between us, the only way to save our bacon now is to draw in and to actually focus on North America, the thing that we control, and maybe the region. But the old world is lost to us. All of America's adversaries and rivals, A, smell blood in the water. That's why the Koreans are going to do something that they wouldn't have done before. There's no more patriots for Ukraine. Russia now holds the skies. I'll tell you, I'll give credit where credit is due. Western propaganda has done a brilliant job convincing the public that Ukraine is turning the war around by these strikes on oil refineries in Russia. It's doing damage, but the Russians are weathering the storm. They're exporting more oil now than they were before. They're making more money than they were before. They're not turning the war around. On the ground, last week was a 250 square kilometer week for the Russian military. Today is the last 24-hour period was another 40 square kilometer day. It was 20 square kilometers the day before. Ukraine is falling to the Russian army, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. All they can do is prolong the suffering. Zelensky is a tyrant dictator who has survived past his election. Forget the fascist stuff that he engages in. The fact is, he has not had an election, and he knows that if he exits this war, he's going to jail. Zelensky's going to hang for this by his own people's hand, and he knows it. So he's willing to continue killing thousands of Ukrainians and thousands of Russians to cling to life himself. These are rotten, terrible people. This, what you see on screen with the North Korean soldiers, is only possible because the Americans have suffered such a massive strategic defeat in the Middle East. It couldn't be clearer. And the Iranians, with their new requirements, are daring Washington to try again. They want it. They have taken the initiative. Answer Allah, after waiting so long, has taken the initiative. And there's nothing the Americans can do about it. Now, I mean, there is concern, and this is another headline. Pentagon drafting a new U.S. nuclear strategy in case of regional war with China or Russia, sources say. The classified strategy informs nuclear options for the commander-in-chief during crisis. If you just read the headlines, you wouldn't. Oh, it's paywalled. See, I read about this somewhere else. The bottom line is the American military's posture is no first strike. Now they're talking about using, because let me get into a deep dive on American nuclear doctrine. But essentially, it relies on strategic weapons. Now, the strategic weapons are big bangs. Lots of big bangs, city destroyers. Basically, we can destroy your entire country. Don't mess with us. There is no emphasis on tactical nuclear weapons, small-yield nuclear weapons that can do a lot of damage on the battlefield. The United States doesn't really have any in Europe. They don't have any effective tactical nuclear weapons deployed. It's all submarines, which contain strategic weapons. It's intercontinental ballistic missiles. The submarines can be tracked by the Chinese now, so the Chinese now effectively know where one arm of the American nuclear triad is at all times. I mean, mutually assured destruction still works and will continue to work, but tactically, the Russians are so far ahead of the United States in terms of the development of hypersonic ballistics, which they hold a large inventory of, because you see, the Russians, the Iranians, even Ansar Allah, the people like to look down on, have exercised a strategic plan at the tactical level. They're going slow. They're using their inventory slow. They're holding things in reserve. The Trump administration has endorsed plans with generals leaving left, right, and center or being fired because they probably oppose these plans, which has gone all in. Big bang up front, using everything they've got and holding nothing in reserve. While everyone else just gets stronger, America depletes itself in Iran. And now they sense it. This change in nuclear strategy is not done from a position of strength. This is a sign of weakness, because now they're saying, we'll have to deploy nuclear weapons in a tactical, non-nuclear situation. And we're willing to do that in order to maintain our deterrence, because the advanced munitions are gone. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not happy to sit here saying these things. I haven't been happy this entire time. I've lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 to 1,000 subscribers because I continue to just tell you the truth, and I won't stop. Lost followers on X. Engagement's way down because if you go against Israeli and American foreign policy on X, you're going to be censored. But you listen to General Keith Kellogg, or you listen to some of the talking heads they put on TV, or you listen to the other podcasters, or you go back and review. How many people in the 2 to 4 days after this war started declared the mission done? Told you that the Iranian people are free, just like that, just as easy as Venezuela. Did any of them revisit their copy on that? They certainly milked the likes and the retweets. Everybody loved it. They made their $20 or $40 from the post. But they never went back, and they don't even have the courtesy to delete it. Don't even have the proper shame to get rid of it and try and hide their tracks. I'm just going to keep it real, and that's what I'm going to do. The U.S. position's terrible. The only thing they can do is come home, but I'm afraid the Iranians are baiting them, and I'm afraid it's in Donald Trump's nature to take the bait. I think he'll try one more time, and I hope I'm wrong. I'll be proud to sit here, happy to sit here and say I'm wrong. But it seems too much. It was one thing for service fees. It was one thing for Iranian control. But this is a big, expanded list of demands. And I think the scary thing is it's not that I think Iran is insincere. This is what they want. And this is what they will get. Because the only thing that can happen is the situation deteriorate even more for the United States. Look, it's so simple. It's so easy. Turn off Promethean. Start looking at Marine Tracker. Start doing searches online for satellite imagery from companies that are reputable, that make their money with accurate satellite imagery. If you want to know how to filter out AI nonsense, go find people that make money for being trustworthy. And that's how you know you're getting close to the real information. Not propagandists, people who make money for being accurate. Go look at that satellite information. The bases, American military bases, are abandoned. The radar systems have been destroyed. The early warning radar is gone. The headquarters of the 5th Fleet in Bahrain, emptied. And the Iranians have basically said, you're not going to sneak destroyers back into your bases. They've already said, you're not coming back. The United States is going to exit the Middle East, and there's nothing that the Americans can do about it. And the core argument that I've been making for a very long time is that this was inevitable anyway. The United States is broke. And it doesn't matter how broke Europe is. It doesn't matter that Canada's broke. We can do comparisons all day long. We're all on the same plane. We're all linked to the petrodollar. 1 in 5 U.S. tax dollars goes to service the debt, and they're printing more debt. They can't afford this war. They can't afford their military. They can't afford They can't even afford their own nation at this point. They can't afford their entitlements. The United States is bankrupt by 2029, 2030. Social Security fails at a time when there's going to be more people needing it than ever. These are realities that are coming. And there remains only one way to deal with those realities. None of it avoids pain. There's this idea that, oh, America's in the new golden age. And somehow that language convinces people that the pain can be avoided. It cannot. It can't be avoided there. It can't be avoided in Canada. It can't be avoided in the West. This is the fourth turning. The reorganization will be painful. There will be people who get wiped out. It will be hard for all. But with enough vision, North American-centric vision, hemispheric-centric vision, as I've said all along, we can weather this storm and we can reemerge reorganized with new institutions and people will prosper and my kids might actually have a hope for the future. It's not too late to do those things. It's just, now it's more painful. Now you U.S. bluffing on foreign policy will no longer work. Trump has bluffed all the bluff away. That's why the North Koreans are going to put their troops on the ground in Ukraine. Because they believe they can get away with it. There are people out there who are literally selling you a message that is so revoltingly untrue, it causes me to lose sleep at night. I went to bed around midnight last night. I was awake until 2 a.m, mulling all of this over. Because every day I wake up and I think to myself, how can I possibly reach more people from this position? Because I can't make people click. I can't make people listen. I can't make people think. And the answer is, I gotta keep communicating just for my own sanity. Because I can see it. And I'm not some special guru. I'm not a prophet. I'm not some messiah. I'm not starting some cult. I'm just some guy in Saskatchewan with a lot of books and an internet connection. And I just don't understand how I can see it, and I can see it and communicate it without any monetization, and other people can't, who could actually influence the outcome. It blows my mind. Anyway, I'm going to keep it short today. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one. And look, you know, like I said, my cautious optimism is I had to dial it down today. But don't get me wrong. I am still optimistic for the future. I can't sugarcoat the fact that there is pain coming. 5, 10 years worth, 15 years worth of transition before we get to the other side. My children will be adults by the time we get there. And I would like to make it less... It doesn't have to be maximally painful. If we could just get everybody, instead of selling narratives, if more people, not everybody, it's never going to be everybody, probably never going to be more. If we could just get more people telling the truth and get more people tuned into the truth instead of watching Intel slop or podcasters who get paid to tell you the same narratives about U.S. supremacy, how we're winning the war, listening to Donald Trump, standing in the ruins of empire, claiming everything is going perfect. Last note, on his Truth Social account, he likes to post AI images, and I found there was one in particular, and I believe it was Patton, General Patton, and I want to say it was General MacArthur, but it might have been a different general, and it doesn't matter. There's Patton, and there's, I'm going to say MacArthur. I can't remember who the other general was. They don't have any medals. The ranks are all wrong. It's AI. You know, I forgive the AI for, you know, it's not as smart as everybody thinks it is. It's a tool. It's a tool. It's not a replacement for quality. It's not a replacement for human ingenuity. It's not a replacement for the beauty of human art. But there they are. Their ranks are wrong. They've got no medals, but there's Trump standing between the two of them, and his chest is just bespeckled with medals. And you can say he's trolling. I call it classless. I call it tasteless. And dangerously out of touch. If he actually believes he is a brilliant military strategist and commander at this point, standing in the heap of the ruins of the Middle East, then we are in more danger than I thought. I hope he's trolling. I'll see you in the next one. He ain't trolling, though.